Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study in Luke chapter 23, verses 1 through 25, titled, He Delivered Jesus to Their Will. The conclusion of this two-part study can be found at bbfohio.com, where you can also find our contact and donation information. Go to bbfohio.com and scroll down to the most recent studies playlist and choose the study that you'd like to listen to. That website again is bbfohio.com. Now we begin with the current events update and then our study in Luke chapter 23 verses 1 through 25 titled He Delivered Jesus to Their Will. This is part 1 of 2.
Before we get into the current events update, Janie just said hello to my grandma Doris, and we've said our last hello before we see her in glory. She's passed away this morning and gone to be with the Lord, and that's what makes it bittersweet because we know where she is. Amen. And she'd been a faithful, Bible-believing listener and viewer of BBF Ohio.com for years, and we're going to miss her in so many ways. She was an amazing grandma. I had two wonderful grandmothers. All my grandparents were wonderful, and Grandpa Jordan left New Year's Day 2000, and then since then, Grandma Jordan went after him, and then Grandpa Miller. It's been, what did we say, almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years that my grandma has lived as a widow. And 97 years old. Wow. And I'm thankful that we were able to spend some time with her Thursday. Amen. And we prayed with her, and Jenny and I sang a couple of songs to her and for her. And I just can't put it into words. I love my mom, my dad, my brother, and my sister, all my relatives. And I'm thankful that so many of them are Christians. But every one of them would tell you, my grandma Doris just had an amazing place in our family. I grew up thinking everybody had grandparents like that. Then as I got older and got around more people and their grandparents, I realized that very few people had a grandma like mine. And I could stand up here and go the next hour and not even get started telling you all that she means to me and all she's done for us. And we get to, I'm sure it'll happen, the memorial service, but the cousins just talking about she'd have us over a couple times a year to spend the night. And she'd make us all whatever pie we wanted, and it was ours. Our own pie. And back then I could eat it and not gain 20 pounds. But I always had the chocolate peanut butter pie with peanut butter graham cracker crust. And she put the homemade whipped topping and chocolate sprinkles on top. And my cousin David, he usually was there with me when I spent the night with her because we played together. We were lifelong buddies and friends. He'd get blueberry. And then we would swap once or twice, you know, and each, that kind of thing. Just precious memories. And I tell you, just this is a moment where you just are so thankful for Jesus. Amen. Amen. People die without Christ. It's dark, hopeless. But when they know Jesus, and you know they know Jesus, it is still bitter. You know, Jesus was getting ready to raise a man from the dead, and he still wept right before he raised him. Death is not natural, by the way. I heard this in the last couple of weeks. The unsaved world is trying to just get over their problem with death by just, it's just natural, just as sure as going to sleep and waking up. No, death is not natural. God did not intend for death. Death came by sin. And by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin so that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But by one man, death has been destroyed. By one man who rose from the dead, conquering sin and death, after shedding his blood to pay for all sin, he has conquered death. My grandma, I was by her side when, no parent should have to bury a child. And her son, Larry, again, 10 years ago, September, I believe, will be how long my Uncle Larry had been gone. And grandma was getting a little out of control in grief. She was starting to get a little bit, losing a little control. I put my arms around her, and I talked to her, and she stopped, and she, recognized me talking to her. And I said, "We believe the Bible. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Amen. And I said, "You believe that?" "Yes, I believe that." I said, "Well, that's what you need to think about right now. In Christ, we don't die into oblivion, and of course, don't die into hell. We die into his presence." Just like a door you walk through. And I was thinking of that because I figured Thursday would be the last time I'd see her. And as we were with her, and I was in there alone for a few minutes with her, and I just looked at her and I thought, what a wreck this body of hers is. It was just a wreck. And I thought, any moment now, she is going to be rid of that old body and going to have the glorified state that she's in now. And then, hopefully, by the end of the day, we'll meet her in the air. And wouldn't that be something? Pass away, and by the end of the day, you're already coming back for the rapture.
And you're already getting the body back.
Getting that new body.
Being restored.
Yeah. Glorified. So I just want to say a word. There's been a lot of you praying for a lot of prayers went up for Grandma Doris. And the whole family knew it and appreciated it. She knew it and appreciated it. And she told me, watching and hearing us talk about praying for her, you know, what that meant to her. And folks, it's a real ministry. Praying for one another, interceding for others. And I really appreciate it. And now just pray that the family will be comforted, her children still living. And then I'm pretty sure I know who's going to preach the funeral, and just pray that they'll present that gospel. We still have some lost people that'll be there, that the gospel will be presented. The current events update. Because all those who go on before us don't want us to sit around and mope. If Grandma was able to say something to me right now, I think she'd look down and say, "Go get him, Greg."
Amen.
Because she said that when she's still here. But number one, bracing for an arrest of the real president of the United States.
Well, we are learning that the Manhattan DA's office has asked for a meeting with law enforcement ahead of a potential Trump indictment. This is coming to Fox News from a source in the courts. The meeting, which was requested yesterday and has not been set yet, is to discuss logistics for sometime next week, which would mean that they are anticipating an indictment next week. Same source who's familiar with the planning said they will go over security preparations in and around the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. Secret Service will take the lead in what they will allow or will not allow. The source cautioned, mentioning, for instance, that the decision to handcuff the president, a former president or not, they will set the tone and will escort him into the courtroom. There will be coordination between all of us, the source said, but we will defer to the Secret Service. The battle will be between Secret Service and DA Alvin Bragg. They will decide how and when he'll get into the building, and they are not going to leave him. The source believes that the former president will still have to be fingerprinted and processed like every other defendant. So this is a huge development. If Alvin Bragg has decided to go ahead with a felony indictment of the former president, this was a charge that the federal officials refused to prosecute on or even really pursue. This was a misdemeanor in New York that Alvin Bragg has decided to elevate to a felony, while at the same time downgrading other felonies to misdemeanors. So we'll be watching this to see how it all unfolds and get more information as it comes in. Sandra?
And John.
Folks, that's not just the Democrat Party pulling this. The powers of the Republican Party are a bunch of satanic, godless people. And they are, that's why you're hearing so very little from anyone called a Republican in the upper echelon. I can't never pronounce that right. Upper levels. I'll stick to the vocabulary I know. It's just amazing to think that they are going to do this to Donald Trump because of this. I'm just telling you. If that were the case, if they were really going to go after ex-presidents for things like this, Bill Clinton would be in prison.
Amen.
And I don't care if you're I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. I'm specifically speaking of presidents. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what party you're in. If you look at me with a straight face and tell me that these level of charges, what's basically a misdemeanor, that you would go after that president and arrest him, you're a liar, because you've had reason to arrest previous presidents much greater than this, and you didn't. And I think that his post on Truth Social yesterday just nails it. He says, our nation is now third world and dying. Need to stop saying, God bless America, and start praying, repent, America. Amen. The American dream is dead. The radical left anarchists have stolen our presidential election, and with it, the heart of our country. American patriots are being arrested and held in captivity like animals, while criminals and leftist thugs are allowed to roam the streets, killing and burning with no retribution. Millions are flooding through our open borders, when many from prisons and mental institutions coming straight into our country. Crime and inflation are destroying our very way of life. Now, illegal leaks from a corrupt and highly political Manhattan District Attorney's office, which has allowed new records to be set in violent crime. And here's the key phrase, whose leader is funded by George Soros, indicate that no crime being able to be proven, and based on an old and fully debunked by numerous other prosecutors fairy tale, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. And he says, protest, take our nation back. And if you go to the left-wing news sources, they're, first of all, repeating the lie that January 6th was an insurrection. And then claiming that he's calling for violence, which he never called for on January 6th or here. Folks, your country is controlled by lying globalists.
Yep.
They are liars. And your news media, those people you see on TV reading the teleprompter and everything, they're not the liars, they're just puppets. But they are reading, don't think that you're hearing that person. That's not their words. They are reading what they're spoon-fed to read, and we've shown you this over and over, where it's the same script in thousands of TV markets at the same time. It's a brainwashing propaganda operation that's going on in America today. And I believe wholeheartedly that this is the spirit of Antichrist. It is preparing the whole world for what's to come. And as your pastor, I'll just say this. Any protesting you take part in, you would better be very careful. Because January 6th was FBI.
January 6th was a Fed false flag operation. Ray Epps is just one of many in that crowd who are feds who gave the fake news their photo ops. And now, to his credit, Tucker Carlson is at least showing some of the video that proves the photo op and the whole fake staged thing that you've been seeing on mainstream news for a couple of years now. There are American people who did nothing wrong in prison right now.
Yep. That's right.
But be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I wouldn't get involved in any huge rallies because you're going to have Antifa and feds and all kinds of people trying to incite violence and all that sort of thing. So just be very careful. But all of us can write emails. All of us can make phone calls. And all of you can just tell the imbeciles in your life what they need to hear. That's the best form of protest, is everybody who stood for what's right would just start talking. Just speak up. To his credit, Speaker McCarthy is standing up. He directed committees to probe whether federal funds were used in potential Trump indictment. Here we go again, he said, quote, an outrageous abuse of power by a radical DA who lets violent criminals walk as he pursues political vengeance against President Trump. I'm not saying I trust McCarthy. I'm just saying I give credit where it's due. That he could be doing what DeSantis and Nikki Haley and others are doing, and that's just being silent, as far as I know. And the take from the traitor named John Bolton, otherwise known as Mustache, and I think he's right here.
Well, just to explain, if he's about to be arrested, it almost certainly means he's going to be indicted first. He's going to be required to come in and surrender himself to answer to the indictment. So it's not some random decision. I strongly believe in a free society, there's got to be one rule of law for everybody. I think that's clear. But I'll say this. However guilty Trump may be, and having very much in mind the one rule of law for everybody, if they indict and fail to convict in New York, I think historians would look back and say, that is the act that reelected Donald Trump president.
I think that's the fact.
Yeah.
If they indict and they can't prove it, then that hopefully, that should cause the American people to vote against all who were involved. And if you don't think the Biden administration is playing a part in this, you're naive. Bolton is a sad neocon warmonger, but he's probably right here. And others agree, including Elon Musk, who said that he predicted a potential Trump arrest would seal 2024 presidential election. And so we'll see. In the meantime, we need to pray for our nation. We have so many things going on with the bank failures and the southern border and those poor people down in those southwest states being victimized by our dementia president that we have and his administration of globalists who basically just opened up those borders. And again and again and again, we have to say, we believe in immigration. We just don't believe in illegals. We believe that the government should control who comes in this country, and it should only be from other nations that are of like mind with the United States of America. Not about race. It's about what you believe, what you stand for, and so forth. So with number two, just a little bit of a encouragement here. Some Christians are standing. I don't know if you saw this, but San Jose Sharks goalie opts not to wear LGBTQ-themed warm-up jersey on team's Pride Night. This was last night, actually. They hosted Pride Night, which is a to God. That's all. Everything pride. Right there. His name's James Reimer, and he announced it on Twitter, and he I believe he used the actual team Twitter feed which was interesting. This is his quote. "For all 13 years of my NHL career, I have been a Christian, not just in title, but in how I choose to live my life daily. I have a personal faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, and in response asks me to love everyone and follow him. I have no hate in my heart for anyone, and I have always strived to treat everyone that I encounter with respect and kindness. In this specific instance, I am choosing not to endorse something that is counter to my personal convictions, which are based on the Bible, the highest authority in my life."
Amen.
End quote. Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
The goalie for the San Jose Sharks in the NHL, James Reimer. So that's pretty impressive, I thought.
Yep.
He's following Ephesians 6:13. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the what?
Evil day.
You're there.
Yeah.
"And having done all,
to stand.
Sometimes that's all you need to do. Sometimes it's all you can do. But make sure when it comes down to that, that you do stand. Amen?
Amen.
So, he delivered Jesus to their will, is what we're titling this, verses 1 through 25. We are actually on Crucifixion Day morning. The last study we ended, after it was day, it says. The sun is risen, and these are the final hours beforehand. We're going to start by reading the first 12 verses. And I'll have you read the even with me, so I'll begin in verse 1. "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves." Amen?
Amen.
So we'll look at the illegalities next Sunday. I'm going to go through the illegal trial that is taking place and started in chapter 22. But we want to refer you to the timeline again. And we are about right there, around 6, sometime after 6 a.m. or ish, sunrise. I've looked, and it's a little closer to 7 a.m. right now. And in 3 or 4 weeks, you do the math, it'll be closer to 6 a.m. sunrise in Israel. And that's where all this took place, by the way. It didn't happen in Missouri. So verses 1 and 2 begin, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate." And this is after what we already talked about in chapter 22, which is a bunch of illegal acts of them arresting him at night and taking him before the high priest's father-in-law and so forth. But verse 2 says, "And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation." Well, that is a lie. Jesus was teaching the truth and countering the perversion of the nation by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. But isn't that something?
What happened today?
That's all you see. The what we call the left is really the wicked. And the wicked are always projecting. What they do, they will accuse you of. It happens over and over. And they're accusing Jesus of doing what they had been doing, and Jesus was undoing. He also says, in forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. Well, that's another lie and half-truth. For example, back in Luke 20:25, does this look like he's telling people not to pay taxes? And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. That's what we tell people when we say, you know what, you should, if you're going to itemize, you give, you get a statement for how much you give, and you add that in your itemization so that you don't pay this government any more than you ought to pay.